What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frieder, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have DJ Cash back. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people where you are and who you are?
What's good? It's your boy, DJ Cash back, representing 313 Detroit Stand Up, East Side.
Awesome, brother. Super excited to have you on the My DJ Story podcast. We want to hear your story, man. Tell me a little bit about how you got started as a DJ and kind of what sparked that interest.
I started as a DJ. First, I was really doing a lot of mentoring, like back in, I want to say like 03, 05. My mentor was DJ Fingers. We used to hit a lot of the clubs downtown Detroit. I was doing a lot of carrying crates and whatnot of the records before everything went digital and everything. And I just kind of asked me, did I want to join the crew? And I was like, for sure. I mean, I'm over here carrying records anyway. And I mentored with him for like 3 years. And then like early 2008, maybe late 2009, I just went on by myself and start pushing, you know, the name DJ Cashback. And it took off real fast, and that's really the start of me.
Awesome, bro. That's super exciting. And tell me a little bit about your name. You know, I feel like all DJs have an interesting story about how that name was chosen. So tell me like the meaning behind DJ Cashback and how you got it.
Well, the way I got it, I start that way. The way I got the name is that I'm from Mobile, Alabama. One of my older cousins is, he was like, what does CB stand for? And at the time I was rapping too. So it meant like a whole bunch of stuff. Cause I was like, it's like any group that I was in, they name was like CB. Like I was in this one group, like back in 99 called Cantler Boys. And then like early 2000s, I was in a group called Condon Block. So I was like, I don't know. You know, I was like CB. And, he was like, so what does it mean? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, you know, we're going to call you Cashback since you always got all this money. And I was like, Cashback it was, you know, and I just ran with it for real, for real. And that's how the name just took off, Cashback. And then, you know, I kind of threw some emphasis on it with the DJ Cashback because it's like, you know, my motto is if you paying, I'm playing. So I've never been in a position where no one ever liked it, what I was playing or the job that I was doing. So I always said, you know, if you don't like what how the party go down, you get a refund. You get it cash back, just like the refund.
I love it, brother. I love it. That's amazing, man. So, yeah, let's go into the story, man. So you got the name. You took off from there. You know, talk me through your progression in the industry. Just walk me through your entire journey from there.
Okay, so it was like really, I started rapping at first because, you know, I was like, man, that's what I really wanted to do. But then as I started getting into the business part of it and noticed that it was more money getting dished out than I was receiving, I was like, nah, this might not be the lane. And that's when I started mentoring with my guy DJ Fingers. And I was seeing the money he was bringing in from DJing. And I'm like, dang. There's some real cheese. It's like back early 2000s where, you know, 500 a night was like going crazy, crazy. And, you know, at this time, I ain't even old enough to even be in the club. I'm like maybe 16, 17. I'm getting in there on the low, low. So 500 a night just sounded so super good to me. And I started doing that. And then, like I said, I just started really shooting out there, doing a lot of club mixes. I really took off at, it was this one club in downtown Detroit called Club Blue. They closed it down, but then they reopened it again. But Club Blue was really where it was popping at, like in the early 2000s and stuff like that. But that's like where I really took off at. And then from there, I got approached by this guy named Oak Davis III. He was an A&R for Slip and Slide Records. And he gave me a proposal. And at this time, I was still balancing between DJing and rapping. And he was like, we really like your style. We want to put you with the group or bring you onto the team or whatnot. And I signed a deal with Slip and Slide on the Grind. And we went on tour for, I want to say like the summer of 2011, 2012. We did overseas tours in the UK. And it was a real good experience, bro. Met a lot of big people. Shout out to Trina, shout out to Plaz, shout out to Trick Daddy. And it was just a real good experience for me. You know, I got to travel, see some things that I couldn't say without them, I would. So it went from there. I did a promotional deal with them for like 8 months. And then we had talked about picking it back up, but at that time I really wanted something more than a promotional deal. You know, at that time I was, you know, I felt like I really had starting to take off or whatnot. So I didn't take the second go around with the promotional deal. So I kind of went independent and started a record label called Street Grad Entertainment. Street Grad was my first record label that I had started, and you know, we're still going on with it right now. I got a few branches with it. Started Street Grad, started dropping like mixtape after mixtape. I think I dropped like 16 projects, like 16 mixtapes in wow. between the time of like 2011 to like 2017. Met up with a group called One Mind Entertainment and signed with them. We ended up doing some a distribution deal with Def Jam. I want to say that was like 2014, 2015. They made me the official DJ. I did some producing on a few tracks. We did that for like a year and a half, maybe two. It kind of slowed down with the group and it kind of faded. And then I kind of just really went hard with the DJing. And I want to say like 2016, maybe late 2015 was around this era where everybody wanted to be a DJ. So it was like, man, what was I going to do to either compete with everybody or change the game of how I was going to get my bread? So it was people doing this laptop DJ and stuff. Let me shout y'all out. I hate laptop DJs. Hate them. But, you know, ain't no hate in my blood, for real. But I just don't respect somebody who could just press that button and, you know, that virtual DJ be messing the game up. That look, if you're using virtual DJ and you ain't got a controller, don't even say you a DJ, man. Just say you DJ double click. You feel me?
Oh, man, that's funny. Let's dive deeper into that, man. I want to hear, you know, what makes someone, you know, more or less of a DJ depending on the way that they use technology for their DJ, you know, career. Do you think that it's a big difference? Do you think that there's a difference in the person, in the vibe they give? Like, what do you think, you know, demands that respect or qualifies you to be a DJ? I'm really curious to hear your opinion on that.
Honestly, what qualifies you to be a DJ? I would say you really gotta be able to use like a turntable with a needle on it. Like for real, because if you don't know how to balance that needle and, you know, change the tempo without hitting the sync button, you know, that really defines you, man. Because, like, let's say you get asked to do like a tour or something, and usually most tour DJs, they use controllers, but like the best DJs use turntable, like Techniques or anything with a needle for real. And I feel like if you could use a turntable with a needle, then you could use a controller. But some people that use controllers can't use turntables. Makes sense. And it's like, I'm not going to say it's sad, but I grew up in the era, once again, where we carried crates of records where you had to switch the record before you was even able to change the song. You know, or like, let's say you wanted to go back to back on the same record, you had to have two of the same records. So it was like, even though like with the digital, you could do that. But when you're using virtual DJ, it just really takes the craft of it out of it. God, and you know what I mean? Because you know, they got the backspin, the slow drop, And all these good effects, don't get me wrong, I love them to death. And I'm not going to say at one point in time I was not that. But overall, I really believe if you don't know how to use a turntable, a motorized turntable, because you got some turntables that, you know, they got the Pioneer where the shit just keeps spinning and they give off the image of it like it's a motor in it, but it ain't. And, you know, you put that motor, you once you add that motor into it, people who say they DJs really get confused and they'll be like, whoa, like, what's going on? You be like, bro, you ain't never used something that had a motor in it? So that's my definition of it.
So you're all about respect the craft.
If nothing else, you got to respect the craft. And don't be, and look. And another thing, the DJs that be pulling out those little toy controllers, man, lighter than a light bulb, don't bring that to no club, man. That's something you keep in the basement. Like if you just practicing by yourself, I ain't even gonna lie, I wouldn't even take that on the live.
Depending on what they use, does it affect the, because at the end of the day, the customers, the people at your events, they're the most important. Do you think that they see a difference in the quality of the DJ based on what they use to play the music?
It depends on the age, because younger people, they don't know the difference, but someone seasoned, I ain't gonna say old, but seasoned, and they know like real hip hop or real music, they gonna know, because they definitely gonna approach you and ask you what it is that you using. And they gonna be like, I ain't never seen this before. Back in my day, we used to use the needles, you know, the 45s, you know, the 33s and stuff like that. So it's like, when you don't have it, the right equipment, you can hear it in it and you can actually tell, because like, I say like, certain brands of products come with like a latency. And when I say latency is like far as being able to catch up with the digital form of the record. So if it can't catch up with the digital form of it, it's either the controller garbage or your computer garbage. And that's what really makes it. Gotcha. I ain't gonna knock anybody that use PCs, but in the DJ world, you need a Mac.
I hear that. So what do you recommend to new DJs getting into the game? Should they go back and learn the old technology, or should they, you know, learn the new technology and just rock out with that? You know, what's your advice in regards to what they should do? Is there any benefits of them going back and learning the old stuff, or it just makes sense for them to focus on the current technology?
Focus on the current technology, because technically the way that the music industry is going and the way that DJing is going, I don't see a reason for them to learn it, because it's like, for me to say you need to learn what I learned back in the 90s would be rhetorical, because we not going backwards, we only moving forward. But overall, if you gonna adapt to it and move to like the future with it, go and get that Rain 1 controller, bro. That needleless turntable, that boy beats. Get you that needleless turntable. You ain't got to worry about buying no needles no more. It's four decks in one. You can't go wrong, but you want to have two. Always keep you two decks. Because when you don't, when you just used to using one, you get sloppy with one hand. One hand is always better than the other hand. So keep you two turntables and you can't lose.
So that's that's the only way you can get respect as a new DJ. You got to get the Rain needleless.
And they got the needleless ones where like they separate, but then they just came out with this one called the Rain 1. And it's like a controller for real, but it's a turntable. But they just put it all into one. And it's a real good machine though.
You guys heard it from DJ Cashback yourself. If you a new DJ out there, you want respect, you don't got to go back and learn the old technology, but you got to get that Rain needleless.
Get that Rain 1 controller, bro. I'm telling you.
We got to get you sponsored by Rain, man. Nah, this is too good. Brother, so let's go back into your story, man. So talk to me. You know, we're in 2021 now. You know, what are some of the things that you are doing now, focused on right now in your DJ career?
Right now, the big thing in the area of Detroit right now is hookah bars, because, you know, with the pandemic, everything is being closed down. It's a time limit on what time it can be open, what time it can't be. So right now, what's really hitting, like, you know, clubs, they got us closed down to, like, 10 o'clock. Like, 10 o'clock, everything got to be closed. And I think, actually, today they had something on the news about we can stay open until 11. But, you know, 11 o'clock is usually when people come out. So it's like, with hookah bars, they have their own zoning, so they don't fit into the category of restaurants or bars or clubs. So they open, they're able to stay open to like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that. So right now, the new thing is hookah bars. Shout out to Burn Hookah Lounge. That's where I'm at every day, every night. Spending on the ones and twos. Y'all make sure y'all come check us out.
And, putting DJs on game. So hookah bars on game. Are so
get down with open. Them hookah bars, man. Shout out to all those hookah bar owners too, man.
And that's dope that you pointed out that, you know, it's just not a coincidence. There's zoning laws and things that allow this to happen. There's business and political and also just things that allow this to happen. And you've identified that, hey, this is a trend. This is something that you can kind of take advantage of right now or leverage while it's the case. You know, and who knows how long this is going to happen. Maybe, you know, the local governments are going to catch on to, hey, people are going to hookah bars and doing this, but so take advantage of it while it's available. You know, DJs, it's a tough time right now. So whatever ways that you can, you know, be able to safely DJ and make some money, definitely take advantage of it. Listen to DJ Cash Back and figure
for
out
real, for real.
But go make some money.
I'm gonna say this too, though, real quick, bro, girl. That's only in Michigan though, because you know I got a booking agent, and I'll be getting booked, you know, in other states and stuff, and they wide open. You know, I ain't gonna lie to you. I was out in Atlanta, like I want to say earlier this year, and they wide open, bro. I mean, like clubbing, you know, and shout out to Atlanta, you know, Esco. I was down there, Esco Bar spinning. They was wide open, bro. You know, it really made me feel good, you know, because you think about when places at like half capacity or a third of capacity and you got maybe 15, but you used to spend it for 50 plus people, you know, and then you get to another state, they showing love, regardless if you from there or you not, and it's packed, bro. Like, when I say Atlanta, like, they say that, you know, they don't be listening or paying attention to the regulations, call it what you want, but when you got a full place packed to pack, wall to wall, window to window, that really set the bar, man. That set the bar, man.
That's where it's at right now.
All them booking agents too, man, that be making that thing happen for us people out here, these DJs.
Word, tell us a little bit about your experience working with booking agents. You know, DJs are definitely finding a hard time finding gigs right now. So, you know, how did you find the proper booking agency, and tell me about the experience? Do you recommend other DJs finding booking agencies as well?
If nothing else, you want to get you a booking agent, man. Especially if you're as good as you say you is, because it's one thing to be good in your city. But if you can't go to another city and do the same thing and adapt to whatever the music is or whatever the case or the situation may be, you ain't nothing but a basement DJ. Because if you can't adapt to what they play in Atlanta or what they play in Cali or in New York, you know, because, you know, Cali and New York got their own style of music. So it'd be not saying that you can't play what you'll play in your city, but, you know, Brooklyn got their own style, their own sense. If nothing else, they got their own style of music that they really just listen to. So getting a booking agent really just gives you, I want to say, the accolades of cementing yourself. Because once again, like, if you could go to Miami and spin and rock the crowd, you can rock it anywhere. To me, that's just, that booking agent gets you to places that you'll never be. And it also, it'll show you what you potentially worth. Because, you know, in the city or wherever you from, you probably got like a set price and it ain't nothing crazy of what your real talent is worth. But when you get a booking agent, not only is they putting your worth and value out there, they making it to where they gonna eat too. So not only are you picking up value on yourself, they gonna make sure you get somewhere because they want to eat. And I always say this, it's better for somebody else to invest their time and money than for you to lose thinking that you know something that you don't. If a door opens for you, it don't hurt to open it and see what's on the other side.
Gotcha.
You know, a lot of people scared to answer doors, but if the opportunity presents itself, open it because you never know what's on the other side.
Word. And it shows your character as well, because we are talking right now because you saw an open door. You know, you saw one of my ads, you saw me on Instagram.
Yeah, I saw you on Instagram.
And you just reached out and here we are chatting. And you never know what might come out of a connection or opportunity that, you know, you could have passed off. You could have just kept on scrolling, but you looked into it and now we're here on this interview and you never know what's going to happen next as we build our relationship together. So DJs out there, if you're seeing opportunities out there, at least look into it. You don't got to take all opportunities because not all opportunities are going to be for you, but at least look into it because you never know what you're missing. And I'm really glad that you brought up the booking agencies. Do you have any booking agencies that you recommend DJs checking out?
Right now I am with Global Management. So shout out to Global Management. They really do a good job with getting me to where I need to be and having a good time, I'll tell you that much. So shout out to them. I don't know the Instagram for real, but just look at Global Management and that's the place that I rock with. You go check them out. You'll probably end up rocking with them too.
Awesome, brother. Hey, you provide a lot of value to DJs out there, man. So I appreciate you dropping gems. Are you ready to jump into the lightning round?
Let's go. Let's hit it.
Awesome, brother. First question. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Rain 1, T52, EV speakers, EV subs, excuse me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, but it's a Smurf mic. And that's really it right there. Oh, can't forget the MacBook Pro.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Shout out to DJ 24. Shout out to DJ BJ. And shout out to DJ Fingers.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Ooh. It'd be the New Year's Eve ball drop in Detroit. I say why because it was cold and I didn't know how my equipment was gonna handle being outside in the cold.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
The most interesting, I said, was Houdini. Houdini, I met him back in 2015 at Return of the Legends concert. Shout out to Sideline Entertainment and Bad Ink Music Group for that one.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
The crowd. Because usually when you ain't got a crowd, you kind of just play what you want to play and you go what you like to hear. When you got a crowd, you reading the crowd, trying to figure out what it is that you need to play to keep them up and going. So that crowd is everything, like for real. Whether it's one or 1,000 people, you need somebody to listen to you.
And shout out to DJs you know personally, whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
24, DJ BJ, like I said again, DJ Fingers, DJ True, shout out to DJ Flex. Yeah, that's a few.
Awesome, man. We look forward to hearing their stories on the show. And any DJs that are interested in being on the show, they can sign up at djsignup.com. And where can people find you online or in person if you're still doing events?
Y'all make sure y'all follow me on all social media at DJ_CASHBACK, at DJ_Cashback. You can find me online. Matter of fact, you even hit my personal 248-991-4962. Like I said, man, I say this, I'm out here. I ain't hard to find. That's my personal number. If you paying, I'm playing. That's my motto.
Y'all heard it. DJ Cashback, thank you for being on the My DJ Story podcast, man. This was a great interview, and I'm sure our listeners getting a lot of value from your story. Thank you.
I appreciate you, fam.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.